Hey, beautiful people, and welcome to the Tell Me a Story podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bell. If this is your first time on the show, this is the kind of podcast where I have different people coming on and they tell me their favorite story. And buckle up, because these stories range. From the relatable to the intense to the traumatic, there is something for everyone here. And I know you guys will love these stories as much as I enjoyed hearing them myself. Today, I had a fellow podcaster, Stefan Satani, come on and give me a beautiful story. And this one is about love. And you know what? It was a great change of pace, one I thoroughly enjoy. Who doesn't love a good love story? And because I know my wife listens to this podcast, to my beautiful Georgia, I love you very much, and I hope you enjoy this episode. And to the rest of y'all, please enjoy. Yo. Well, Stefan, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Eric.
Yeah, man, I've been following you on the Insta and liking your stuff, and I definitely wanted to have you on and some help, you know, fellow podcasters, got to support each other.
Oh, yeah, I was thrilled when you proposed the idea, because I got onto you and I started hearting your stuff when I think Krista K, because I was going to have her on as a guest, and I heard her episode or your episode with her, and it was phenomenal. So I also was scared, because I don't think I can tell a story as good as she can, but here I am.
Well, man, I have the utmost faith in you, and like I love Krista. She's my heart, and I loved her story, and I love the boost it gave to my podcast. So she was awesome.
Oh, that's great. That's great. It really was a great episode, and I've listened to a couple others, and they're all good. They're equally as good.
Oh, thank you.
So, you've got a good thing going on here.
I appreciate that.
Does everybody seem, it seems like Krista knew her story, but then everybody else is kind of like, oh, I don't know what to say. I'm not sure what story to choose.
Yeah, Krista was perhaps the one of the very, very few who knew what they were going to say when they walked in. And I had a handful of other people who know what they're going to talk about, but a lot of people are like, yeah, I'd love to be on the show. And I'm like, okay. Tell me a story. Oh, I've been trying to figure it out. I don't know. I was like, you asked to be. It's the show's called Tell Me a Story. Like,
it's funny. I mean, I'm still not sure exactly the contents. I know I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not sure if it's going to be a full saga or not, but
it's all good.
I didn't realize how difficult it was to tell a story until now.
It's funny because like Krista is not the only comic I've had on, and I've had a variety of different speakers and unique people who are used to talking all the time, and they all like, oh, I don't really know what to say. Like, how do you not know? Because, but at the same time, when you're is you never, because I think everyone has so many stories, they don't know. And they don't know which one to pick, and maybe they worry about the linear path of it. But everyone who does it, it doesn't matter. They all come out with great stories, every single one of them. So I know you got something great for me, bro.
Oh, that's great. And you know what? I have faith in you as well, because the episodes that I've listened to, you're such a good moderator. I feel like you should. Well, obviously, you're doing this podcast, which is great. But if you could do a radio show, if it was asked. So I think you,
man, trust me, I would love it if they asked me that.
Well, one day, I feel one day.
One day. So go ahead, Stefan, tell me a story.
All right. We're just going in dry like this. Okay. Well, I thought about telling a story. It might turn into a trilogy or a saga, but what I'm thinking about and what I wanted to convey was how my life changed after learning a language. And so I thought about how it changed from, I guess I'll just go back. Let's just go way back into when I was a teenager. So when I was 16, I was in Cottonwood, Arizona, which is a very small town. And I think there were about 3,000-4,000 people in there. Well, at the time. And so I wasn't really used to a lot of diversity, let's say. And so I did have a connection where my family, especially with a last name like Satani, I had Italian connections where we had cousins that were like third, fourth generation but we would call them cousins. Anyway, they would come over and they'd visit, and I would learn a lot about them. First, I laughed a lot at them because they were so different, where I had this 17-year-old cousin named Francesco, and he actually was the youngest boy that I saw with a full chest of hair. It was just like a welcome mat. It was so much hair. But he got a kick out of the stuff that we did. Like, we had a barbecue and my dad grilled burgers and he ran away and we thought he got scared, but he ended up bringing back his Nikon camera to take pictures because he'd never,
of course,
been to a barbecue before. So,
well, I'm glad he had an experience right there.
Yeah, exactly. The premium Cottonwood experience. So we ended up bonding, though, and I had a real good time with him. He also, another funny thing is, he didn't really know how to whisper. It's, funnily enough, there's not a word for whisper in Italian. It's just yell and yell.
That actually explains a lot.
we would go to movies. I still remember this. We went to 300. And I thought it was a badass movie, right? But he was this historian guy that he would look. I still remember when that Persian guy got kicked into the well by Leonidas, and he's like, "No, what are you talking about? That did not happen. That is not real." And I'm like, "Dude, what are you? First of all, and then second, who cares? It's a movie." But no. Go ahead.
No, that's hilarious. No, I just think that's hilarious that he complained about one of the single most badass things that happens in the movie.
Right? Oh my gosh. It was so iconic and yet so ruined by his Italian accent. But anyway, that's besides the point. But we bonded. We ended up getting really close. And then he left me a note. I spoke no Italian at the time, but he left me a note when he left that said, it was from Homer, not Simpson, the writer.
The writer.
Yeah, he left a note from Homer and it said, "Don't." But the other one, it said, "When you learn another language, it's like gaining another soul." And that really resonated with me. And so I went over there and I visited with my family, and we just all bonded with all of our Italian relatives. And then when I went to college, I ended up trying to go for music because I was in a band in high school and I thought I was hot shit. And it turns out, according to the Conservatory of Music in Arizona State University, I'm not, because I got rejected. So in that defeat, I thought about what I could major in instead. And I had taken an Italian class and I actually really liked it. I was chatting with my cousin Frank, as I called him, and I would chat with my mom because my mom, her grandma spoke Italian to her, so she was fluent. So I ended up falling in love with it, and I ended up majoring in Italian. So I went to go live in Italy. I studied abroad there, and I went to a small town. It was called Ferrara. And you couldn't drive there unless you lived there. So they were trying to historically conserve this city, let's call it. And so everybody rode on bicycles, which was super cool, except for the fact that I lived with a host family and I inherited a bike from them. And it was this, the only way I can describe the colors is like a shirt that Will Smith would wear on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It was
nice.
Yeah, it was this beautiful lime green that just transitioned so quickly into this neon orange. And so everybody in the town knew me from, well, first it had a little horn too that was like, so everyone would see me and be like, "Ah, ciao, Stefan, no, no, no." So that was fun. But I living there, it really taught me a lot about a different culture. And just how things worked in a different way, how toilets flushed in different ways, how toilets clogged if you put toilet paper in them, a whole lot of things, mostly a lot of toilet things. But it really opened up my eyes to different cultures. And so I wanted to be an Italian teacher after that. And so I taught Italian at an elementary school and I tutored college students. And I ended up hating it. So
no, oh no. What was so like the glamour of teaching a new language? How was that tarnished when you made it an occupation?
I found out how much money they paid, and
yeah, that would do it.
No, it was a little bit of it was the money, but a lot of it was I loved teaching to people that were actually interested, and then I got a grant through the Italian government to be able to teach as an after-school program. And so they offered this for free for all the parents of the school and from grades 4 through 6. And so what happened was they could basically, the parents said, oh, a free program where I can dump my kids after school, whether they care about Italian or not. Great. So about 60 parents decided to do that. So I was teaching 60 kids Italian and no one really cared. Except for maybe one or two, and I really liked teaching them. But the other 58, it caused a bad experience. It tarnished it for me. So I ended up not doing that. So my dream was also to go and live in Italy after I graduated from college. And so I made it halfway, and I ended up in New Jersey. I saw that there was a strong cultural base there. I saw Jersey Shore and I thought, oh, okay, kind of Italians. So,
oh, man.
So I ended up living there and I got a job with Rosetta Stone, which I thought was kind of a nice transition where I wanted to do more business and still work with languages. So I ended up working at Rosetta Stone, but I was working, I don't know if you remember those kiosks in airports and malls.
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember? Okay. Like, yeah, so I was the manager. Go ahead, yeah.
No, but like the Rosetta Stone kiosk, or were there a particular kind of kiosk?
Yeah, they were Rosetta Stone kiosks.
Yeah. Okay, I remember those.
Yeah, with the my uniform was, I kind of looked like the man in the yellow hat from the Curious George novels.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would have the khaki pants. I would have the button-up Rosetta bright yellow button-up shirt, and some nice shoes. And so I would just stand at the kiosk and try and get people to buy $750 of language learning software.
Yeah, so, that's a hard sell in a mall.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up trying to figure out how to be able to do that. So one of the first questions, obviously, that people ask is, oh, how many languages do you speak? So I thought I would up it a little bit. And so I spoke Italian. I gained fluency through that, speaking with my cousin. And my cousin was a real stickler about it, too. He was really rough on me. So I ended up getting to be able to speak with an accent that was of the north region of Italy. So like a Milanese accent, really. So a lot of times people, when I speak Italian to them, they'll think I'm Italian, but they'll think I'm from a different region, or they'll think I'm drunk. So it's just something a little off about it, but they'll think I'm Italian. So anyway, I, when people would ask, I'd say two languages. Then I upped it. I did the French program. I found no one to speak French with, so I lost it. And then I thought, I'm in New Jersey. I'm near Newark, New Jersey, which is one of the biggest communities of Brazilians outside of Brazil. Brazilian women aren't bad looking. So what if I tried Portuguese? And Portuguese, I thought about either Mandarin or Russian or Portuguese. And I thought, you know what? Everyone knows Spanish, so I'm not going to try Spanish. Portuguese is like Spanish in difficulty, but nobody speaks it. So maybe that could make me more marketable. And Chinese and Russian are just way too hard, so I'm not going
to. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I ended up doing the Portuguese. And then I ended up becoming one of the top sellers in the country because I learned three languages. I learned English, obviously native. I did Italian through school and then Portuguese through Rosetta Stone. So I was able to describe the differences and nuances between the software and learning in the classroom and living in a country, etc. So that was really nice.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Portuguese, man. They do look quite lovely. I wish I would have learned. Portuguese. I years ago, I was working at the LAX, and we had an exchange program, and we had a few people from Brazil work in our store. And I still remember Carolina, and damn, she was 20 yeah. different styles of fine. And the only thing I got out of my mouth, only thing I was able to even like, I was like, hey, oi, como vai? That was it. That was all I got. Oh, I didn't have any. And then she would talk, and I got nothing for her. I got nothing for her.
That's awesome, though. I think they really appreciate that you try, though.
Oh, yeah. I remember when she left the job and she went back to Brazil, my supposed friend, she came over to me. I was like, oh, I'm going to miss Carolina. I was like, yeah, I'm going to miss her, too. And she was like, man, she had that one goal and a crush on you. I was like, wait, back that up. What goal and what crush? She like, yeah, she liked you. And, you know, she had a crush. She was wondering, she wanted to have sex with a black guy from LA. And I was like, how the fuck do you not inform? They're like, just in general, you informed someone that, like, how dare you? Like, how fucking dare you not tell me that story? Carolina.
My God.
Yeah.
Did you run to the nearest airplane and go? Just
like a movie. I ran to her terminal. Carolina, wait. We can make this happen. She was already gone. She was already back in her home country. And, you know, belly dancer, by the way. Belly dancer. Just to add the sex appeal to it.
You know, I feel like in Israel, there's 1 year of obligatory service in the army. I don't know if it's the same way with Brazil, except it's belly dancing or samba.
a lot of the ladies know how to do it. A lot of the ladies know. It was a respected dance. It makes sense. But yeah. but anyway, back to your story. You learned Portuguese. Sorry, when I hear about Portuguese, I hear her name, Carolina.
So I also, the Portuguese, I ended up getting into online dating, and I don't know what, maybe it's the fact that I just don't know what to say, or maybe it's the fact I'm extremely unattractive, but I would reach out to women and just like, hi, I don't know, what's up, how are you, blah, blah, blah. No women responded to me, or they would, and it just would be horrible. So I never got a date online from an American woman, let's say. But then I would just do like the oi, como vai, tudo bem, that type of stuff to Brazilian women, and they would all respond to me. And they're like, oh, so cute. And so I'm like, yes, very cute. Would you like to go on a date? And so I dated a couple women, and then through them, I started to make some friends. And so I started becoming the gringo that was going out dancing and going to the churrasco or the barbecues. And I was just I seemed like, I don't know how it was, because I don't think it's that common to have a tall, goofy white guy speaking Portuguese. And so they probably thought I had some sort of learning disability or something, but that's just speaking Portuguese. But then I got a little better. And then I ended up meeting this woman, and I thought she was gorgeous. And I thought, wow, she's actually, at the time, I didn't think she was gorgeous. Fuck, she's going to listen to this. She was gorgeous, but I didn't see her in that way at the time because I had a girlfriend. So we were friends, and we continued to hang out in a group of friends. And I thought she was really nice, an awesome person. In fact, I remember telling her one time, I don't know why I got this cheesy, but I told her, you are a gem, because you just make sure that everyone's happy in the party. You make sure that everyone's safe, and you just want the best for everybody. And you deserve somebody that will take care of you the way you take care of everybody. So a couple months pass by. I go through this horrible breakup with this Brazilian girl. And I don't want to, I'm sick of Brazilians. It's like getting drunk on Jack and being like, I don't want to ever drink again. So I started cleansing my Facebook of all my Brazilian friends that were in contact with her and blah, blah, blah. And a couple months go by and I see her again with a group of friends. So my best friend ended up dating one of their friends. The Brazilians, they just it was an infestation. So they took over.
My friend Jesus Christ. Their friend. What a great, yeah, what a great word to use.
Yeah. So I end up going with my friend and his girlfriend at the time. And we end up meeting up and I see this girl again. And we're at a Brazilian buffet. And I see her and I just think, wow, gorgeous. And so we're chatting. I'm trying to crank the old charm machine and making her laugh a little bit. And so you go, you get your food, you weigh your plate, you eat, blah, blah, blah. We do all that. We have our fun. And then we're about to go. And then we pay. And I'm about to pay. And the guy's like, where's the ticket that you got to weigh your plate? And I was like, oh, I don't have it. And he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? And I was so distracted by the beauty of this woman that I forgot to weigh my plate. And you, if that happens, you just have to pay $50. So the ladies, they ended up saying that I was a Brazilian with a mental disability and I just didn't know how to do things well. And I didn't really have to act too much, but they ended up letting me pay $20 or something like that. So
wow, $50 if you forget to do one thing. That's a vicious, that's some hardcore penalty right there.
Seriously. Yeah. So I never forgot to do that again. But anyway, I was also in line with her and I said, you look so beautiful now. And then she looked at me strangely and I thought she would have liked the compliment, but she was like, what do you mean now? And I tried to explain that I had my girlfriend goggles on before, but I didn't do a good job of that. So not off to a great start of trying to.
No, that's a stumble. That's a stumble right at the. Oof.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean now? Yeah. Oof. That's like that. That scene in a movie where the guy's like, I want to go talk to her. Yeah, go ahead. Go talk to her. You look so beautiful now. Oh, God damn it. He said now. What the fuck, bro?
Yeah, my friends are in the back just shaking their heads like, oh, God, he ruined it. So anyway, we still hang out after that. And then we were in Jersey. Then we drive into the city. And so I decide to drive with her. And so then I'm teaching her a little bit of Italian, trying to still crank that really bad charm machine.
Mm-hmm.
So then we all hang out and we're all at this bar. And it's an Italian bar, so I'm trying to show off and speak Italian to the waiters and stuff. And then they bring over the little grissini. Have you ever had those? They're like little breadsticks, but they're hard and crunchy, very thin.
No, I have not. It sounds okay. Delicious.
Oh, yeah, they're quite delicious, quite scrumptious. So we're having some drinks, and then I try and make my move where I say, hey, have you ever seen these before? In Italy, what they do is you take one end and I take another end and we break it. And then whoever has the biggest half gets to make a wish. And she thought, wow, that's so cool and definitely not made up. And so she goes for it. And then I say, no, you don't use your hand. You use your mouth.
And yeah, there you go, brother. There you go. I see what you're doing. I see your game.
So, and see surprise, your game. Surprise, it didn't take. It's for some reason.
Oh, so yeah, of course it doesn't. She knows what you're trying to do. She knows what you're going for.
So it was a little bit of a, well, she was pretty smooth about it though. She was like, ah, I see what you're doing. And she didn't do it. So anyway, we keep chatting and then we all get in an Uber together. The six of us or eight of us or however many people there are. And she's sitting next to me and she has some gum. And so she gets a stick of gum and she's like, would you like some? And I said, yeah. And then she sticks half of it in her mouth. And then she says, "You in Brazil, there's a tradition where whoever gets the biggest half gets to make a wish. So she pulled.
She got her game. Go ahead.
Yes. So that was the first kiss and one of my favorite kisses of all time. So,
of course.
And all of my friends were there to see it. So it was great. I had an audience. It was perfect.
Oh, that's so fucking romantic and awesome. That's nice, man. That's
and
nice.
And that was the last time I ever saw her. No, I'm kidding.
No!
No, she ended up being my wife. So that's who I'm married to today.
That's awesome. That is, God damn it. She is smooth as hell. I love that story. That is so sweet. It's funny because earlier today I recorded with a buddy in my cast, and the last few recordings I've had have not been in any way romantic, in any conceivable way. It was like, yeah, I fucked this girl in the back of the Universal Studios lot. It's like, yeah, cool story, bro. And like, you're giving me an actual romantic. And I was like, oh my God, I love it. I love the variety.
Yeah, trying to just mix things up. I've been on a few podcasts. I have a podcast of my own, but I've never really, it's all very jokey, and I never told this story. So I wanted to tell it somewhere, and I think this is a special spot. You're a great guy. I feel warm and comfortable around you. So
of course,
I hope you and your audience appreciates that, and you know, mixing it up a little bit, sprinkling in a little romance there. So
I would love more romance stories, and I know my wife listens to the show, so I know she'll definitely appreciate that. You know, the story, probably not the part about Carolina, but she loves romance.
Yeah, and so we ended up dating, and I was there in New Jersey for 1 month, and we fell in love. And I told God, this is why I didn't tell this story, because it's embarrassing for me, or it should be. I fail several times. Now we date for a month, and I know that I love this girl. I've never told a woman that I've loved her first, but I felt it in every inch of my body, and I wanted to tell her. So I picked a romantic spot. We ended up going to TGI Fridays.
And of course.
I'm still, yeah, right? Nothing over saying I love you over some potato skins. But I ended up, we were writing on a napkin, and we were writing things like, I was teaching her some Italian and showing her what boy, girl, blah, blah. And then I said, this is ti amo. Ti amo in Italian is I love you. And then I said, I love you. And then there was a silence. And then the waiter was like, so should I come back? Or give us a minute, Tim. Give us a minute. So then she looked at me and she was like, thanks. And I got thanks. Oh! So that was rough. That was really rough, but I felt like she knew, and I felt like she wanted it to come out, and she did. I can't remember the time when she did tell me, but she did tell me maybe a week or two later, and then I ended up getting a nice job in Arizona. So I'm worried about it, and so I tell her, and then she says, well, if you go, you're going to have to pack me in your suitcase because I'm coming with you, and that's...
Hell yeah.
That really made me, that confirmed that I made the right decision by really trying and embarrassing myself pursuing her. So I ended up moving, and I lived with my father and my sister in a one bedroom apartment, because I thought it was going to be temporary. And my long story short, my mom and dad, they live in Cottonwood still. But my sister, she has autism, and there's no school for children with autism at the time. So my dad ended up driving my sister 2 hours every day to Phoenix for her to go to school. They ended up making it easier just to have an apartment. So they got an apartment. I ended up staying with them. My sister, they made a bedroom out of the closet. My dad would stay in the big bed, and then there was an air mattress for me. And then several months later, my to-be wife. So, or girlfriend at the time. So I knew she really loved me, because there would be my sister, my dad, he had his pap machine. So he would sound like Darth Vader every time that he went to sleep.
Yeah.
And then we had the air mattress that had a hole in it. So it would deflate halfway and our asses would be on the floor and our legs and torsos sticking up, and we'd have to crank. It was a machine too, so we'd press the button and it would go.
Wow.
Super loud. And that was it for about 9 months. Yeah.
That's love right there. That is straight love.
It really is. And then she said, you know, well, should I keep going? Have we got time for a little more of this?
Yeah, we got time. Go for it.
Okay. So I ended up deciding this is the woman that I want to marry. And I ended up trying to save for a ring. Got a ring. I asked her to marry me a 1 year after our first kiss on that date. So she said yes. And then we had to ask her parents. So I asked her dad. And I feel a little bad for the guy because we FaceTimed almost every day through her. I would speak to them and sound like an idiot in Portuguese, but they had never met me before. They had no idea who I was really. And I'm asking him for his daughter's hand in marriage. And he later was like, what the hell else was I supposed to say? But he said, yeah. So we ended up getting married. Let's call it hitched. We got married in the civil, and then we ended up getting married in Brazil for the big Catholic ceremony. But that was really fun because I got to bring my family to go to Brazil. I had been there 6 or 7 times already, but for the actual wedding, we got to have my family get to know their family. And it turns out if you don't know the same language, if you just get a lot of alcohol inside you, you can speak anything you want. It's really,
hell yeah,
a magic translator tool. Who needs translator apps, you know? So, but
that is,
anyway, that awesome. Yeah. But I still made a fool of myself. I thought I was good in Portuguese, but we ended up, my wife, she wanted me to spend some quality time with her dad. So she sent us grocery shopping. And so we ended up going, they gave us a list. And then what my father-in-law did was abandon me. And I had to fend for myself with the cart. And he went to go check out some meat. The actual meat, not a euphemism for a Brazilian woman. But he left me and I was asking all the people, do you have this? Do you have that? Blah, blah, blah. And so I got really proud of myself because I almost filled up the cart with everything we needed. And then there was one thing that people, they just didn't understand me or they didn't know what I wanted. And so I told him I got everything except for fulba. And he looked at me and he was like, what the fuck did you just say? And I said, I got everything in the cart except for fulba. And it turns out that fulba means buttholes in Portuguese, not cornmeal, like originally intended. So I was asking,
oh man, what's the actual Portuguese word for cornmeal?
Oh, it's fubá.
Oh, you were so close.
Yeah, so my mother-in-law, she closed the U almost when she wrote it down. So it looked like an O instead of a U. And then she didn't put the accent on the A. So I just said fulba. So needless to say, I'm not allowed in that grocery store anymore. but it's a good story for all of them. To bring up every time I go back to Brazil.
I'm sure you'll hear it. That's one of those like, oh, remember the time. Yes, I remember the time. You say it, you remind me every time. I love this story.
Exactly. But I think that's an important thing about language learning is you just have to be, and I think with stand-up, it's also very true. It's a parallel that I've seen is you have to be numb about what people think about you, at least negatively. Yeah. Because that way you can go out and you can actually say the joke no matter how dumb you think it is, or you can try to speak no matter how dumb you think you are. And it's that humility among everything else that I learned through learning languages. I feel like humility as well, because I sound like, even though I'm 32 years old, I am 10 years old in Italian. I am 6 years old in Portuguese, and I sound like it, speed and everything. So it really is a humble thing that you learn. So it's It's really cool.
So that old term, learn a language, you gain a soul. You actually really embody that because you got the love of your life. You know, you got your soulmate through learning another language.
And yes. Yes, exactly. And it's also great. You just meet so many people too, where you might not otherwise, because it's a door that you can open where if we hear people, well, my wife doesn't like me to do it anymore, but when I was single, if I just heard people speaking Italian or if I heard people speaking Portuguese, I'd be like, oh, hey, where are you from? And then they'd be totally friendly, where if I just some guy on the street, I was like, hey, where are you from? He'd be like, fuck you. So it's something that opens you up to finding potentially new friends. There are meetup groups that I would go to try and practice the language. And so I made some good friends there and just some really good bonds that I forged with some of my cousins and eventually finding the love of my life. So language has really opened some doors for me.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you for that. That is so sweet. And, you know, like, makes me, I got to get my wife some flowers. I won't. But,
nice.
But, man, that's great, man. That is so great. And congratulations on, you know, being married, having a beautiful story to go with it, and something that always connects you guys. And, man, props to your girl. Like, that is some road dog stuff, being able to sleep in a one-bedroom apartment with your dad and your sister. And you guys were still in Arizona, right?
That's right. Yeah, we were in Phoenix at the time. And then we ended up, it was really cool because we ended up, we didn't have a lot of money. We were trying to save up for a wedding. We were trying to save up for a student visa. And I don't know why, but we just went all in. I knew from our first kiss that she was going to be somebody that I could marry. Just marriage material. Amazing person.
Wow.
And so we kind of went all in where we knew we wanted to be with each other. So we got a plan for, okay, if I'm moving to Arizona, you're coming with me. How are we going to set it up? How can we help each other so we can save up for you to be able to come visit? If you're going to continue to go to school, how can we save up for that? And so we really learned how to financially plan together, which has proved really nice. I know some people might be more effective with separate finances. We lumped that shit together, and we've been able to, now we have a house, which is awesome. And you know, she's taught me a lot about saving money. I used to make it rain sometimes, but I feel the little money I had, but we've been able to really work together to level up in a lot of ways. We ended up moving back to New York for my job, and she was like, why the fuck did I even come to Arizona? But we ended up going there, and we lived there for 7 years, and we moved back to Arizona because now we're thinking of starting a family, having a child. And we thought about being close to family for that. And we thought, okay, Brazil, we would love to live in Brazil, but it's so dangerous that the sense of security that we have here would just dissipate. It would be gone.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. Unfortunately, her mother, she got her car stolen at 9 a.m. in front of her house while she was in it. And two guys with pistols. No, I can't remember if it was pistols or if they had machine guns, but they were just basically like, ma'am, please get out of the car. And so she had to oblige or else she'd get shot.
Jesus, the confidence. 9 a.m. in front of the house. Oh, my God.
I know. And it's so weird because you tell people this from Brazil and they're like, oh, yeah, I have a story where I got my phone stolen or my car stolen or anything. It's insane. So,
yeah, we do have a privilege out here. We do have those stories like that are not as commonplace in this country. So
yes, yeah.
Be thankful for what you got.
Exactly, and like you said, though, and yet another thing that proves time and time again that she is in love with me and is really an amazing person is we moved to Arizona near my family, and I love my family, but I know that to her, it's in-laws. That you can have a tight relationship with in-laws. I'm not talking shit about them, but I know that it's a little bit different, and you might have to just be on your toes a little bit, because it's kind of like you're in your in-laws' good graces because they see how happy you make the significant other, but then there might be jealousy, there might be this, there might be that. I don't know.
There's judging, there's some judgmental aspects to it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I definitely the story of in-laws is very known, you know. Yeah. Yes. But man, that just shows that she's your road dog. Make sure you make as many trips to Brazil as you can, just so she can have her little break.
Oh, exactly. We try to plan at least once a year. So we spend the whole week or 2 weeks just visiting family, but it's really nice. I love seeing the family and it makes her happy. Her sister just had a baby 2 or 3 years ago in October, and he's our godson. And we talk with them every day and see how he's doing. And so it's really nice to just go back and hang out with them.
Oh, man, that is awesome. That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for such an awesome romantic story. I thoroughly appreciate it. I know all the guests will. And please, you know, represent your podcast. Go ahead. Where can people find it?
Oh, absolutely. And Eric, thank you so much for having me on. It was awesome to be able to tell my story. And you're just such a good host. It just flows so smoothly. It's like...
Oh, dude, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. You're very nice, man. I really appreciate that. And I'm glad. I would love to be on your podcast one day.
I actually, we're going to talk about it right after, but I have some dates that I was going to run by you because I would love to have you on. I think it'll be a ball.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
If people are asking, oh, what podcast are you guys talking about? It's a comedy advice. Wow, I messed up on the name. It's a comedy advice podcast. And essentially what it is I get together with special guests or a group of friends, and we talk a little bit about the guests. Then we go into the self-help portion, which is we decipher quotes from robots or other silly people. We answer questions across the internet. We give celebrities advice because why not? And then we take some one-star reviews and help out businesses based off of the cranky Karens and other people that are out there that feel like they have to have it their way. So real fun. It's called a comedy advice podcast. You can listen to it anywhere: iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox, wherever. So
awesome. 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 Well, thank you very much again. A comedy advice podcast. Guys, please subscribe, listen, share, and thank you all for listening to Tell Me a Story. Thank y'all. Good night. And that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to support the podcast, you can do a lot of things by like, sharing, and subscribing to it wherever you get your podcast. If you want to follow me, my handle is Bell Comedy, one word. And that's my handle for my Facebook and my Instagram, where I'm most active. And if you would like to support the podcast has its own Instagram called the Tell Me a Story Podcast. And follow us on Instagram. I'll be posting photos of all the different guests and little news updates. And if you would like to support on a monetary level, Bell Comedy is also my Cash App. So don't feel shy giving you a tip here and there. It goes a long way, guys, I promise you. And we'll have a Patreon going soon. And thank you guys so much. Love y'all. Goodbye.